Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 249 of Beyond the Supernatural. We're still working our way through the entities today. We're wrapping up with the siphon entity that we talked about yesterday that inhabits a particular object and just hangs out there trying to bargain for mobility by providing its middling psychic powers to people in exchange for blood fucking sacrifices. And we're beginning the tectonic entity, which is a similar kind of idea, but it's a spirit that instead of inhabiting one important thing, it inhabits a bunch of little piddly shit and assembles them into like a 10-foot tall humanoid monstrosity and kills people, which, number one, scares them because it's very scary to be assaulted by a giant body made of like twigs or Hot Wheels or whatever. And number two, it then kills them, which doubles their PPE so that the tectonic entity can absorb it. Now, the tectonic entity, like any good scary demon, does not jump right to killing someone. Quote, "The typical tectonic entity invisibly stalks its intended victim, or victims, then, at the right moment, builds itself a physical body from junk and rubbish and attacks. It follows you around, gets you all worked up, then builds up the body when it's the right moment, presumably when you're alone, and then it kills you when you're already at the peak of terror and your PPE doubles. Yum yum, tasty demon lunch." This raised a question for me, which is, how is the tectonic entity supposed to scare you and like chase you and torment you before it takes physical form? Because until it assembles itself a body out of, you know, debris or gravel or whatever it's going to use, it's immaterial. It's just an invisible immaterial spirit. The answer is that it uses its inborn psychic abilities, which it powers using ISP, but typically not its own ISP. And that's the dumbest thing on this page. They have a little bit of ISP and PPE of their own, but they typically fuel their psychic abilities with their ability to draw ISP and PPE from the people around them. Now, typically, like out in the wild, what they're going to be doing is drawing PPE from people who aren't really using it for anything anyway, like at least most adults. They've got a teeny bit of potential psychic energy. They're not using it for anything. And the monster absorbs it and then uses it to create ISP at some kind of exchange rate specified in the monster description. And then they use the ISP to power their powers. But that's like theoretically how they function in the world, right? It's not really how they function at the table. In the context of an adventure, because all the players pretty much are playing paranormal investigators, many of them are going to have ISP. And so instead of draining their unused PPE, the monster naturally is going to drain their ISP directly. It's more efficient, and it denies the investigators the inner strength points they need to power their own psychic abilities, right? If you're going to go fight a telekinetic, if you're a siphon entity or a tectonic entity or whatever, naturally what you want to do is pull out their ISP and use it to power your own telekinesis. Throw shit at them before they can throw shit at you. The law of the psychic jungle. Because of the nature of the Beyond the Supernatural rules, though, this is way too effective. The rules for a siphon entity to do this to someone are on this page, and the tectonic entity we're going to discover in a couple of pages does the same thing with the same rules. And here's how it works. They hit you with a psychic attack. You got to roll to save versus psionic attack. If the save succeeds, the entity doesn't get anything. If the save fails, the entity can steal up to 20 ISP or 5 PPE. The victim loses them, the entity gains them. Now let's take the case of a telekinetic, right? Like a physical psychic who specializes in telekinesis. A typical physical psychic starts with like 7 ISP as a base and then gains 2 more per level. So that's 9 at second level, 11 at third level, 13 at fourth level, and so on. I'm not totally clear on the order of operations when you get jumped by a psychic entity. Like if you're a telekinetic and you think you're going about your business, but law of the psychic jungle, an entity sees you and is like, oh shit, a telekinetic, let me immediately throw a couch at that guy. Let me draw out his own psychic power and throw a couch at him. As far as you know, like you're not investigating the supernatural, it's your day off. You're just like redecorating the apartment. You're at IKEA, right? I've chosen a couch-rich environment for the purposes of our hypothetical situation. Your ISP is at its base multiplier. You're not doing anything supernatural related, as far as you know. Would you say if you pass by, let's say, a siphon inhabiting a desk lamp at the IKEA, that you are encountering a supernatural creature? Would you say that you've encountered the siphon? I feel like you haven't. I feel like if you don't know it's there and nothing has happened between the two of you, just its presence is probably not enough. It might be. But if it is, I'd still probably only give it like a times 2 multiplier, like you're in a haunted kind of location. But I don't think you get the times 4 multiplier if you aren't aware of and haven't interacted with a monster. I don't think that's how it works. Now, what that means is that even if you are, let's say, a third level physical psychic with average ISP, you only have a base of 11. If we're very generous and say that you've got a times 2 multiplier right now just from being in this IKEA where, unbeknownst to you, an entity also is, that means you've got 22 ISP. The very first time this entity comes for you with a psychic attack, trying to take your couch hurling powers for its own, if you fail your save, it could hit you for 20 ISP right off the bat. That takes you down to 2, and then what? That's the big question. Does your ISP shoot up to a times 4 immediately when the attack on you is declared? Or does the siphon get one attack, and then once that attack is resolved, that counts as an encounter, and then your ISP is multiplied? It makes a big difference because of the stupid base ISP rules, right? Because when you encounter a monster, your base ISP is supposed to be multiplied in accordance with the strength of that monster, but only the amount of base ISP you have remaining is multiplied. So if you've been drained down to 2 ISP, then it's that's multiplied by 4, and you end up with 8 ISP instead of the 44 ISP that you should have by all rights. It's a horrible rule, as we've discussed repeatedly. But in this scenario, it does, in fact, make the difference between being left with 8 ISP or 36 ISP. But even being generous, let's say you're left with 36, right? You're lucky enough, it hits you with an ambush attack, and then your multiplier immediately shoots up, blah, blah, blah. Which turns out, by the way, to be mathematically worse than not having ambushed you. If we interpret the rules that way, it's better for a siphon to be like, hey, I'm a ghost, so that you get your multiplier first, then drain your ISP. But anyway, even if you're left with 36 ISP, let's say the siphon comes for you again with another psychic attack, draining your ISP. It hasn't yet hurled a couch, it's building up to that. If it succeeds again, it's going to take 20 of that 36 ISP on attack number 2. You haven't even gotten a turn yet, and you're down to 16 ISP out of your potential 44 that you should have to fight this monster before you even got to do anything. Can you even throw a couch with 16 ISP? Barely. And attack number 3 might bring you down to 0. This ability to drain so much ISP in one go is drastically too good for these monsters, especially because, as like immaterial entities, if they fail to drain your ISP, they can just fuck right off. I mean, the siphon can't go anywhere, but it can just stop, and you're gonna end up having to spend your ISP anyway trying to figure out which of these fucking desk lamps is haunted. And that's not even your jam. I mean, if you're a physical psychic, it's your day off. Now you gotta get on the phone to the Laszlo Society. Hey, I felt something weird at IKEA. Sorry, I know it's supposed to be everybody's weekend. Everybody load in the van, let's come to IKEA and scan every piece of furniture to see which one is haunted. And if it's a tectonic entity, even worse. You try to drain somebody's ISP once, doesn't work, okay, bye. See you another time when you least expect it. Good luck trying to stay away from all small objects while you're waiting for me to show back up again. The first time a tectonic entity manages to land this opening punch, this opening hit of taking away 20 of your ISP, you are at a severe disadvantage for the rest of that fight. And it can attack you anytime, anywhere, which I guess you could argue makes it a good horror monster. But this is a design thing. We're here to play psychic investigators who have certain psychic powers. I'm fine with a monster that is threatening, but what I don't appreciate is a monster that takes away your ability to use the powers that are the cool thing about your character. In my opinion, there's no reason to give these creatures the ability to directly drain ISP from investigators. It fucks up the whole economy of points used to fuel their powers, especially because of the wonky way that the multipliers work. I'm cool with them taking PPE to feed from like regular people, or even investigators, since psychics don't actually use PPE for much. But draining ISP directly just seems mean. It's a direct attack on a psychic's ability to be psychic, which is what we're all here to do. Sometimes it's difficult to find the balance between a monster who makes the game scary and threatening and a monster who makes the game not fun, but a good clue that you're doing the latter is when the monster's special ability is to negate the things that make the play experience cool. And this page definitely crosses that line. Overall, though, I am a fan of the tectonic entity, so join me next time as we move on to some more detail about this lovable trash monster on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.